Our Beats Me question this week comes from Greenfield resident Anna Raditz.
I just want to know what happens to recycling once it leaves my curb.
She had more on her mind than the next life of her empty milk jugs and newspapers.
The main thing is I wanted to know if people handle this. I mean, if it's all conveyor belts or if people put on plastic gloves and handle it, because I'm really good about rinsing out everything.
I found out Anna's recyclables land in rural Racine County at John's Disposal Services. It handles up to 200 tons a day. Trucks deliver load upon load of recyclables that get fed into a conveyor system, one funneling cardboard, the other everything else recyclable. Manager Eric Burjoyce walks amid the maze of technology.
All the metals and plastics are sorted into a separate conveyor. Cardboard's on this side. And if you look on the other side, it's all paper.
A 25-person crew is strategically positioned throughout the system, using their hands, gloved of course, to further separate metals.
Aerosol cans, regular aluminum with food, and cat food cans will separate out from aluminum cans.
Yeah. Burjoy says aluminum cans are a valuable commodity, but over time, John's has received fewer and fewer. What John's gets goes to Tennessee, where the Alcoa Company manufactures new aluminum cans and wheels. Paper and cardboard customers are as close as Iowa and as far away as China. Several workers bend over a sea of plastics.
Anything that's not number one, he's going to pull out, put back on the belt for everybody else to sort. Right there, they're doing nothing but milk jugs all day.
Burjoy says the type of plastic determines its next life. For example, number two colored plastic.
I sell it directly to a guy in Cedar Rapids. And he'll take it and make it into agricultural grain tile.
No one here lays a finger on glass.
This is our glass breaker. When it comes through, the glass will come straight down, get crushed, and then go outside. We're not hand separating glass.
When it leaves John's, the crushed glass doesn't travel far. 40 miles southwest, a company in Delavan sorts and sells it both to bottle makers and to fiberglass insulation fabricators. There's a market for glass, and it represents about 20% of John's load. So you might be surprised to learn glass isn't a moneymaker at this end of the process.
We pay to get rid of it.
Despite people's best intentions, Burjoy says there's a certain amount of wishful recycling going on. He points to a blanket that ended up in one of the loads trucked to the plant.
They're not quite sure. They would rather err on the side of recycling, so it all goes in the recycling bin.
Wishful recycling adds up, sometimes to as much as 30 tons a day. John's compacts it and disposes it at the nearest landfill. The plant has to deal with other items that don't belong among the recyclables, especially plastic bags. One line worker stands atop a riser, reaching out to pluck plastic off the line. He's surrounded by bags of every imaginable size and color. While rules vary by municipality, including whether recyclables can be placed at the curb in large plastic bags, Burjoy says any plastic sacks that intermingle with a conveyed recycling stream wrap themselves around equipment and bog down the system.
Two things you'll learn by the time you leave here. Never use a plastic bag and always drink your beer in cans.
Greenfield resident Anna Raditz, who initiated the Beats Me question, says she rarely buys beverages in glass and is trying to do her part to drive down the bag problem creatively.
You make plarn. It's plastic yarn.
Anna is a weaver and has begun turning her plastic bags into yarn. She shows me two tote bags she created.
It keeps it out of the ocean. It keeps it out of the landfills. So I hope they find more and more uses for the recycled products.
Maybe it's time to think outside the recycling box. Speaking of boxes, Eric Burjoyce from John's Disposal says please flatten yours before throwing them into the bin.